May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Knowing Christ, is it possible? As we continue our studies of Paul's letter to the Philippians, the question I want to ask, just a wee question I want to ask us today, is, are you happy as a Christian? Are you happy being called a Christian? Do you enjoy knowing that you belong to God? I'll allow us to go home with this question and respond to the question. Biographers of Martin Luther, the great reformer, tells us that in the later years of his life, he became a very gloomy man, so much so that one day, his wife entered into the study where he was sitting, reading a book. And she was dressed in black with a veil over her head. Martin said, "Who is dead?" And the wife said, "God is." And immediately, the breath was taken from the reformer, and he responded, "My soul, why should you talk in this manner?" And the wife said, "Because of your gloom. It was as if God has died, and all the promises of God had died with him." And that really awakened the consciousness of the reformer to know that for whatever reason for which he was becoming gloomy, that God was still alive. And there was still the chance and opportunity to be happy and to rejoice. Paul rejoices, and ever since we started studying Philippians, we've seen that Paul has always talked about rejoicing. Rejoice in spite of and for the reason of physical persecution. And remember, he was writing from prison where the future was gloomy. And the physical persecution that Paul was experiencing at the time is a reality that many of us, many believers of Christ over the centuries, have experienced. To rejoice in the Lord is to be glad, but this gladness is derived from the confidence we have of our whole salvation. It's the confidence we have in our whole salvation. It is the joy that flows from justifying faith and joy which we have in knowing that our final glory is in heaven and it is certain in Christ. It is that assurance, the song that says, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." It is that knowledge that whatever it is that I might be experiencing today is not the final. There is higher glory awaiting us. And we need to be reminded of this. Because if our salvation, if Christianity is all about what we do here, week after week, then there is really a problem. There is something that is beyond our daily existence. And this week, I took a funeral, and as we are at the cemetery, and with the coffin being lowered into the grave, again, it came alive to me that there is something, there is really something beyond this. There is something beyond the life we live today. Because if Christ tarries, we might all find ourselves one way or the other being lowered, and, you know, with friends and family standing around, you know, the grave at different times. But there is something, there is hope beyond the grave. And that is really what we need to capture as people of God. In our passage today, Paul shows that suffering can And we come in different forms. And one of the forms that Paul speaks of is the form of false teaching. False teaching is a joy robber, especially if it is weighed down with legalistic self-serving tendencies. The Judaizers Paul warned against claimed that circumcision was mainly the necessary condition to be accepted by God. Paul's answer was to take their eyes. Paul was writing them and asking them to take their eyes off from human achievement and put them on the one goal that they could never achieve on their own, which is knowing Christ, the righteousness that comes from knowing Christ. In verses 5 and 6, Paul gives his spiritual and religious CV. He was part of the people of Israel. He was circumcised according to the law. He was a strict observer of the law, a Pharisee. In fact, he says a Hebrew of the Hebrews, which means he was not a Hebrew on the margin. He was very much at the center of what it means to be a Hebrew. He went as far as to persecute the church, as we read in Acts of the Apostles. Yet in verse 7, there seems to be a remarkable turnaround. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Compared to the one great gain, everything that Paul previously thought was for his gain, he now sees as a great loss. And what is that? Verse 8 says, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. And I like that expression, surpassing. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. Paul says that knowledge, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ as his Lord, outweighs all the achievements he would have recorded in life. The one thing of value for Paul is to know Christ Jesus as Lord, to know him, to serve him. Paul describes in verse 9 two competing models of confidence, not having a righteousness that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Righteousness that comes not necessarily by the strict observation of the law, but righteousness that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. Christ has paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. And all we need to do today is to be open to the work of his Spirit in our hearts, to accept him in our hearts, and to journey with him. In Matthew, as was read, the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 13, our Lord tells a parable about a man who is a buyer of fine treasures. When a man comes across the most beautiful treasure in all the world, he does not hesitate to sell the whole stock of treasures he previously had. And with that money, he purchases the one outstanding treasure. As with Paul, we have a man whose present possessions cannot compare with the treasure he discovers. Paul urges us to trust in Christ, to believe the promises that God gives us, to receive the righteousness that comes by faith. A story is told about somebody who was invited to speak at an elders' conference. And then he said he was going to start by asking if the elders in the session have given their lives to Christ. And that was supposed to be a hard start, because you wouldn't want to ask such question to cake session. But that's the question we have to deal with this morning. Where are we in our walk with Christ? Having looked at where our confidence should lie and how our profit should come from the gain of Christ. Paul goes on to show some of the benefits of knowing Christ. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his suffering, becoming more like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That I may know him. And we often stop at that. And the power of his resurrection, many people will stop at that. Rather than trusting in our own achievements, to know Christ is to receive the power of his resurrection, to receive the Holy Spirit who indwells us and helps us to live for God. Paul goes further to say that to know Christ is also to share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. If the Lord Jesus endured the cross and his shame to win the crown for us, then how much less should we expect to share in the suffering for him? We often hear of easy gospel that does not have a place for experiencing pain and anxiety. But we know that in real life situation, that is not true. Because even the greatest of preachers in the world, they have their own pains and worries. But one promise we have from God is that even though we walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, we shall fear no evil. Because we will never walk through the valleys of the shadow of evil, of death alone. Because at every time, we are held by the hand of the Almighty God, who will never let us go, who is always faithful and trustworthy, who is always loving and kind. Paul is showing us in this passage that there's an ocean of glory in Christ Jesus for us to know and experience. We need to go deeper. So let us not be content with putting a toe in the water. Let us pursue a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And let us also live every day looking forward to the day in which we shall see him, the one who loves us, the one who defeated death through his resurrection, the one who is daily interceding on our behalf, the one who loves us exceedingly, who loves us with everlasting love. Let us look forward to the day in which we shall see him face to face, when the Bible says every tear will be removed and wiped away from our eyes. Let us look forward to that day when we shall be welcomed home to eternal glory. Our faith, our Christianity, is not just about this now, this life. It has to do with eternity. And let us look forward to eternity, when we shall be with the Lord and reign with him. For nothing on earth compares to knowing Christ as Lord. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the Lord. Soon and very soon, we are going to meet the Lord. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to meet the Lord. No more sorrow there, we are going to see the Lord. No more crying there, we are going to see the Lord. No more weeping there, we are going to see the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the Lord. Amen.